Now please turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that we read a little earlier, Galatians chapter 2 from verses 15 to 21. Galatians chapter 2 verses 15 to 21. When we study the Bible, we find that there are some passages that address a particular topic, and the passage will address it in great depth so that we have a clear understanding of it. So for example, if you wanted to understand what it means to be born again, well, you would turn to John's Gospel chapter 3, because in John's Gospel chapter 3, Jesus has a conversation with Nicodemus, and it is Jesus who says, you must be born again. And Nicodemus then comes back and says, well, how can a man be born when he's old? Does he enter his mother's womb a second time? And so this conversation develops where Jesus speaks about the new birth. You would also turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul says, all who are in Christ Jesus are a new creation. The old has gone, behold, the new has come. So those passages teach us in great depth the meaning of a topic like what does it mean to be born again? Well, if you want to know, how can I be saved? How can I know forgiveness of sin? How can I know righteousness so that I'm right with God? Hugely important questions, of course, because these are literally questions to do with heaven and hell. They are to do with our eternal life, because if we don't get it right, if we don't have the right teaching, and so we think, well, the way to get saved is this. Here it is. Here's the way of salvation. And we diligently and sincerely follow that way, but we find all the time, actually, we've been on the wrong path. You know, there are millions in our country and millions in this world who are in that situation. I've made a point of this before in our series in Galatians, that there are churches that teach you, well, if you live a decent life, you live a moral life, you do your very best, you go to church, you are kind to your neighbor and so on, God will reward you with heaven. It is a heresy. It is from the devil that such teaching comes. But there are churches that teach such things. And so people follow that teaching and they go a long way. For many years, they go down that road of teaching, and they will find if they don't repent and leave that teaching, when the end comes, they were actually never right and they're not fit for heaven. So this question, how can I be saved? How can I know forgiveness for my sins? How can I know a sure of hope of heaven? Well, there are two main passages in the Bible that teach this. And we're looking at one of them this afternoon. Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 to 21. The other passage, if you're interested, and I've mentioned this endlessly, is of course Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. And Romans 5, 12 to 21 says pretty much what Galatians 2, 15 to 21 says. It's in a lot more detail, but those are the two great passages. I guess there is a third one as well, which is Romans 3, from verse 21 to 28, verse 21 to 31. Actually, and Romans 3, 21 to 31 also explains salvation. So we're looking at this passage this afternoon, and we're looking at this question, how can I be saved? Now the passage speaks about righteousness. That is the key theme of this passage. As I read it, you noticed that he uses, or rather our translation comes up with this word, justified. And you notice that it is there quite a few times. He begins with verse 16. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, so that we also have believed in Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Now, if you look in the bottom of your Bible where the little notes are, you notice it says, counted righteous, which is probably a slightly better translation. It's one of those Greek words that it's a very precise word, and we have to be very precise in our translation for it. So I'm not saying justified is the wrong translation, but I think counted righteous is actually a more literal, because it's a compound verb, it's a better translation, a more literal translation, counted righteous. That is the theme of this passage, that we are righteous with God. Now, what I want to do this afternoon is to ask three questions. And as I do so, I trust it will help us to understand the teaching of this passage. My first question is this: what do we mean when we say counted righteous? What does that mean? You know, here is Paul saying, we know that a person is not justified or counted righteous by works, but by faith. What does it mean, justified or counted righteous? Now, the answer is this: to be counted righteous means to be in a condition, to be in a state where you are right with God, you're in a right relationship with God. Where God is your loving Father, and your relationship with God is a relationship of love. You know how sometimes when we evangelize, and we say to people, you need to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to come into a relationship with God. Now, actually, that's not correct. Every human being on the face of this earth is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Every human being on the face of this earth is in a relationship with God the Father. Now, please hear me out. The unsaved are in a relationship with God, and the saved are in a relationship with God. The problem is, the unsaved are in a legal relationship with God, where they're under the condemnation of God. But it is still a relationship. It is the relationship of a convict and a judge. So a person comes into the courtroom, and the case is heard, and the evidence is examined, and the judge examines all the evidence. None is left out. He examines it fairly and objectively, and he says to the person in the dock, he says, I've examined all the evidence, I've examined it carefully, and you are guilty. Now, because of that pronouncement, certain things happen to that person, because there is a relationship between the judge and the convict. The judge is that man's judge. The judge has the right to pass a sentence on that man. And the sentence that the judge passes has a consequence upon that person. That person can't say, I don't recognize you. I don't even know who you are. I'm walking out of here free. No, you're not walking out of here free. You've been pronounced guilty, and the police will now take you and put you in a cell somewhere. So there is a relationship between the judge and the convict. There is a relationship between the unsaved person and God. It is a relationship of law. God applies the law to the unsaved, and God expects them to obey the law. And where they don't obey the law, they are judged. This is why Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 3, he who does not believe is condemned already. The person who is saved is in the right relationship with God. His relationship or her relationship with God is not of judge and convict, but father and child. It is a love relationship. That person has been brought out of darkness. He or she has been brought out of condemnation, out of death, out of the kingdom of the devil, and brought into God's kingdom and adopted into God's family as God's child. He or she now is in that right relationship where the love of the Father is eternally upon that person. It will never die. The Bible speaks about the steadfast love of the Lord. And you know how I quoted Jeremiah this morning when we were looking at Jesus' teaching on the Father. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great, O Lord, is your faithfulness. Jeremiah wrote those words in Lamentations. And there are words that are written for God's people. He was trying to encourage God's people, and he was saying to God's people, because when Jeremiah wrote those words, the nation of Israel or the nation of Judah was at its lowest point. They had sinned against God, and the Babylonians had come. And the Babylonians had destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They destroyed the walls and the temple and the houses, and the whole city was a rubble of stone, a pile of stones. And they had taken away large numbers of Israelites to Babylon in exile. So the nation was destroyed, had been defeated in war. The city is destroyed. The people are in exile. And Jeremiah walks through the ruins of Jerusalem. Because he wasn't one of the ones who was taken into exile. So he walks through the ruins of Jerusalem. And he surveys all this disaster that has happened. And it's the most remarkable statement. Because, you know, you examine all this. And what do you say? And Jeremiah says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great, O Lord, is your faithfulness. Now, he's speaking to those who were right with God. He's speaking to those who were in a right relationship, the remnant who were right with God, and he wanted to encourage them. So when Paul in this passage speaks about being justified, being counted righteous, what he is saying is, we are legally pronounced righteous, and because we are legally pronounced righteous, we've been brought into God's kingdom, and we have been made the beloved children of God, and we are now in a right relationship with God, where God delights in us, and God loves us, and God has mercy upon us, and God is gracious to us, and God is compassionate towards us, and God is our Father, and God will never judge us, and God will never be angry with us, and God will never condemn us, but he will eternally love us because we are now righteous before him. We have been pronounced legally righteous in the sight of God. So that's the first question. What does it mean to be justified? What does it mean to be legally righteous? It means to be pronounced righteous in law and therefore to be in a right relationship with God, a relationship of love. My second question, how do we come into this position? How do we come into this situation where we are pronounced legally righteous? Where we are in a right relationship with God, so that God is our loving Father and we are his beloved children. How do we come into that situation? Well, the answer is given there, isn't it? In verse 16. He says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law. We are not pronounced righteous because of what we have done. I know this is something I've emphasized again and again in Galatians. Please forgive me, I just want to emphasize again, because I wouldn't want any of us to walk out of here confused about this. This is an area where so many people are confused. Because the default human setting is, well, if I live a decentish life, and I'm a righteous person, and I'm religious, I go to church, and I do all my religious duties, and I'm living a decent moral life, then God will see that I've tried my best, God will see that I'm sincere, and that I'm not the worst of sinners, I'm not an adulterer or a murderer or something like that, and so God will pronounce me righteous. That's the default human position. That is what most people in this country believe, I would think. But Paul says that is not how we are justified. We are not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. How do I come into a right relationship with God? Through Jesus Christ. How am I accepted by the Father? Through Jesus Christ. How are my sins dealt with? Through Jesus Christ. How am I adopted into the family of God so that God is my loving Father and I'm a beloved child of God? Through Jesus Christ. Now, I've made reference to Romans chapter 5. We're not going to turn to it, but I do encourage you to read it when you get home. And in Romans 5, Paul explains the mechanics of justification. And Paul says what happens is this, that Jesus Christ lived on this earth 33 years. And he lived a perfect life, a life of obedience. He never once disobeyed God. His life was a life completely, totally, utterly pleasing to God. God was pleased with the life of Jesus Christ. Every mega second of it, every microsecond of it was a life lived to the pleasure of God, to please God in obedience to God. Now, when we become Christians, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, that is to say we go to Christ and we say to him, I am a sinner bound for hell. Will you save me from my predicament? What Jesus does is that he gives us his obedience. And he takes our sin upon himself. So there is this exchange. My sins are laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. His obedience is given to me. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John says on the day of judgment, he says, books will be opened. It's an intriguing little phrase. He doesn't expand on it. But John says, on that day of judgment, he says, books will be opened. And he says, people will be judged according to what is written in the books. Now, the way that I explain it, this is quite a simplified way of explaining it. But I think it's basically true. That you and I, we have a book in heaven with our name written on it. There is a book in heaven with Sukesh Babari written on it. And all my works that I have ever done, right from my childhood, were written in this book. Every sin, every rebellion, every disobedience, every wrong that I've done, thinking, speaking, actions, whatever, every wrong is written in my book, page after page after page. I say book, it's actually volumes and volumes because there are so many sins that we have done. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth, he came to earth as a full human being. And so there's a book with his name written on it. And of course, his record says, this man has obeyed the law of God perfectly and lived a life pleasing to God. That's what his record says. It says, this person has obeyed the law of God perfectly and lived a life that has pleased God perfectly. Now, what happens when we get saved? God rips all the pages from my book and puts them upon Christ. And God takes his record. This person has lived a life of perfect obedience to God, pleasing to him. God takes that record and places it in my book. Not because I've earned it, but because he is gracious. And so when I stand before God, today, when God has dealings with me, God opens my book and God reads there, this person has perfectly obeyed the law of God and lived a life pleasing to him. And so God's blessings are upon me. I'm in a love relationship with God because my record reads that I'm righteous. It is not a record that I myself put there. It is Jesus' record imputed to me. And when he died on the cross, my sins were put upon him, and he was punished in my place. So he dealt with my disobedience, and he gives me his obedience. And that is how we are pronounced righteous. Because Christ's righteousness, Christ's perfect life, Christ's life of pleasing the Lord throughout his life is put to our record. His obedience is given to us, and God deals with us according to Christ's obedience. He does not deal with us according to our sins. He deals with us according to Christ's obedience. And so we are pronounced righteous. Because he opens the book and he sees this person has obeyed the law of God perfectly and lived a life pleasing to him. And so he receives us into his family. He adopts us as his children. And he loves us because that record is there eternally. Just as my sin has been placed on Christ and dealt with eternally. My sins have gone because Jesus died and dealt with it. And his righteousness now is in my record. And so we are pronounced righteous because of Christ's righteousness imputed to us. We must never think of our own righteousness. You must never think, tomorrow if I live a life that is pleasing to God, if I have a long session of prayer in the morning and I go and speak to 5 people about Christ, and then I have a long session of Bible reading in the afternoon, then in the evening God will be pleased with me and God will say, I'm so pleased with you today and I accept you as my child. No. We are accepted on the basis of Christ's righteousness. Our relationship to God the Father is on the basis of Christ's righteousness. And so he says, we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. So we've looked at 2 questions. What does it mean to be righteous? It means to be legally pronounced righteous. It means to be in a right relationship with God. It means to be in a love relationship with God, where God loves us, God accepts us, God has adopted us into his family. It is an eternal condition because of Christ's righteousness. And the 2nd question, how did this happen? Well, it happened because Jesus Christ gives us his righteousness and takes our sin and deals with it. Now, let me very briefly look at verses 17 to 19, because they are there. They're not the most straightforward verses, but because we're looking at this passage, I will look at that and then I'll come to verse 20, which is a very important verse. Paul is writing about the Jewish people. And Paul is saying, we Jewish people, we like to think of ourselves as righteous because of our own works. And he says, if in our endeavor, he's speaking about the Jewish people, if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we are pronounced sinners, in other words, we have to admit, look, we are sinners, he says, so be it. He says, does that mean then that Christ is a servant of sin? In other words, does that mean that Jesus himself, who was fully Jewish, was a sinner? And he says, no, of course not, certainly not. And then he says in verse 18, now he's speaking here to the Galatians. Remember, the Galatians believed the gospel and then they began to believe in good works. You know, the Galatians moved in their position. They shifted in their position. When Paul went to them and Paul preached to them the gospel, they believed in Christ and they were saved through faith in Christ. And then these false teachers came and the false teachers said, no, 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 you must obey the law. You're justified by the law. So they shifted their position and they began to believe in the law. And Christians sometimes do this. We get confused, you see. Yes, we trust in Jesus Christ, but then we get confused about the law and we think, well, surely if I obey the law, God is pleased with me. And Paul, with this in mind, says in verse 18, he says, if I rebuild what I tore down, he says, I tore down salvation by works. As a Jew, I used to believe in salvation by works, but I brought all that down. But he said, if I rebuild it, if I go back to being justified by works, I prove myself to be a transgressor. Why? Because verse 19, through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. You see, Jesus obeyed the law, so through the obedience of Jesus, we died to the law, meaning we're no longer being justified by the law. We don't look to the law for justification. I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. That's what he's saying in those verses. He then comes to verse 20. And this is, as you know, one of the great verses of the Bible, one of the finest verses in the Bible. And it answers my third question. So we've looked at the first question. What does it mean to be justified? We've looked at the second question. How are we justified? And then the third question. How do we live as justified people? How do we live as those who have been counted righteous? And that is what this is about in verse 20. And he says in verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Excuse me. I now live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me just open up that verse to you, because I'm asking this third question. Now that we are Christians, how do we live the daily Christian life? Well, he says in the first place, I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, he says, I no longer live as if I'm under the law, I no longer live as if I'm justified by the law, I no longer live as if the law of God is what my relationship to the Father is founded upon. So he says, I have been crucified with Christ. When Christ died, I died with him. And he says, so the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. That is how we live the daily Christian life. We don't live the daily Christian life as if we're on our own with the law. We live the daily Christian life as those who belong to Christ, those who are loved by Christ, those who are saved by Christ, those who are in Christ. You know, when you examine the New Testament explains the Christian's relationship to Christ. It's very lovely. You need to examine the New Testament very, very carefully. And there are passages in the New Testament that explain the believer's relationship to Jesus Christ. So, for example, Jesus is the good shepherd. We are the sheep. Jesus is the bridegroom. We are the bride. Jesus is the cornerstone. We are the superstructure. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Jesus is the head. We are the body. You see all these pictures in the New Testament of the believer's relationship with Jesus. We are the bride of Christ. We are the branch that has been put into the trunk that is the vine. We are the sheep of his sheepfold. We are the superstructure and He is the foundation. We are the body, He is the head. All these various relationships that the believer has with Christ. And Paul says, that is how you live your Christian life, through faith in Christ, in relationship with Him. You love Him. You look to Him. You focus your life on Him. You draw resources from Him. And you live for Him. Christ is now at the heart of your life. So he says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Because He lives in me by His Spirit. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He then goes on to say in the last verse, I do not nullify the grace of God. If we seek to live by the law, we seek to justify ourselves by the law, we nullify grace. Law and grace are antitheses. You either seek to be saved by law, or you trust in the grace of God. And he says, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. If I, by my righteous works, could be justified, well, then why did Jesus die? So he says, if you seek to live by the law and to be saved by the law, you nullify the grace of God. Well, we don't do that. So three questions in that passage. What does it mean to be pronounced righteous? It means to have a right relationship with God. It means to be pronounced legally righteous, brought into God's kingdom in a love relationship with Him. How does that happen? Not by our works, but by faith alone, in Christ alone. His works imputed to my book, and my guilt put upon Him on the cross. How then do I live as a righteous person? Well, I live by faith in Christ. I love Christ. I walk with Christ. I focus upon Christ. I live for the glory of Christ. The life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That is the teaching of Galatians 3:15-21.